How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
It's been a long road to this moment right now.
What is this moment right now, my friend?
We're launching the probably the biggest update we've ever made to Squadcast. Today on July 22nd.
Yeah, that's right. What are we calling that again?
V2.
V2. Yeah, V2. I'm freaking stoked, man.
Yeah, a lot. You know, our whole trajectory of this experience has led to right now, and we've used all of that feedback and growth and knowledge and wisdom that we've picked up from the podcast community and just learned along the way, and we've used it as fuel to get here.
Right. Yeah. So we just wanted to, use this podcast to kind of celebrate that launch and then kind of just discuss how we got here, what we've learned in the process from V1 to V2, and, you know, why we think this is going to be a big deal for podcasting, the podcaster, and the podcast audience.
Yeah. Yeah. So we took the opportunity after V1 to kind of take a step back, and we started reasoning up from the ground up again with kind of fresh eyes, looking at the core problem that we set out to solve around 3 years ago. And that was a challenge that we ourselves faced, to kind of give a little bit of backstory here. And that's recording great sounding remote conversations, remote interviews, and ran into that bottleneck of quality, and then started working on seeing if we could, how much we could move the needle to have, you know, the awesome experience of remote conversation, remote collaboration, because the internet and people are everywhere and guests probably don't live in the same city as you and all that stuff. And really kind of reasoning up from that same problem, but with all the knowledge that we've picked up over the past couple of years. So right. we've learned that there's some holes in our game. And what's the kind of biggest hole in our game up to this point, Rock?
What's the biggest one? So you're talking about like where Squadcast, you know, V1 is at, and you know what people were having issues with, and you know, it still spoke to at large what people were having issues with recording remote conversations. You're talking about that?
Yeah. Just all the opportunities we saw for improvement coming off of the V1 launch, which, just for context, was about 6 months ago, was in January of 2019. Right. Mm-hmm. And we're here in July now. So not that long, but we took that window of time to make some improvements and plug up some of these holes in our game.
Yeah. Well, I think the biggest hole in our game up until this point was, you know, once people got into a studio session on Squadcast, they got to experience the magic. They never had to worry about losing a recording. It was going to sound great, whether it was from the Squadcast primaries or the backups that we also record just in case something does happen. You know, we always want to make sure that we have your back. So, you know, if people were in that session, they were able to experience the magic from what we gathered. But the issue was because the guests come from all different type of setups, different type of equipment, network, you know, you name it. And they're also not the most sophisticated with technology, we'll say. You know, if they weren't able to get in the session successfully, they weren't able to experience that magic. And so that was like one of the biggest opportunities that we saw, was like, okay, when they are experiencing it, they love it. But if they're not able to experience it, they're not able to see what they're going to hopefully love. So how do we do that with all these variables at play? So how did you, you know, A, interpret that when I'm, you know, because a lot of these come from customer calls and sessions I was scheduling with them, or you were doing yourself, or, you know, the whole team, but it was primarily me, and I'm relaying that information to you. So like, how are you interpreting that? And then what did we find throughout the process of like okay, how do we make this better? This has to be better. And you know, cause obviously it was worth doing, cause people, once they got in there, it's like, it was great. So how do we replicate that and make that, you know, 99, 98 out of 100 times we make that the experience.
Yeah. And you know, we've this isn't our first attempt at trying to solve that problem too. Like, we added green room to our experience in beta to help people get connected into the session, and that worked well. And then we kind of moved into, you know, this stepped onboarding process, and that's what we have currently in V1, or up to this point in V1. And you know, so we had kind of taken a couple different ways of approaching this challenge and this opportunity, but you know, your quote to me, I'll always remember, is like, it's like there's a party and they can't get through the door, the door is locked or whatever to get into this party, but once they're through the door, it's awesome. And you know, that on a personal level, that's pretty vulnerable, because you know, a lot of the work has gone into the recording experience, and it's like,
absolutely,
if you can't even make it that far, then you know, that hurts a little bit. So mm-hmm. After processing that, you know, it's like, it's all good feedback, like it's all constructive, and there's improvements that we can make, and you know, it's our opportunity to make those experiences happen. So excited to kind of take a step back and look at the problem again, and realize that we had added too many steps to join the session. The guest to get into the session is like, you know, 5 or 6 clicks before they're in green room, and then it's like 6 clicks to get into the session. And meanwhile, the host is waiting in the session, likely. They can chat with each other the whole time. A lot of times guests got confused and would think that they're already in the session when they're still getting into, they're still joining the session. Mm-hmm. So it was too many steps to boil it down. And that's what we saw an opportunity. It's like, well, can we make this one step? Is it possible? Like, that would be the ideal experience. And that's what we really set out to do. So we rebuilt Green Room. We rebuilt the whole app. I should have mentioned that at the jump, but we rebuilt the whole app. And Green Room was completely, you know, restructured to have this one click, one button click join session experience. And that's what we're excited to be, you know, taking that opportunity to make a huge improvement there, and always, you know, ensure that getting connected into a session is just as easy as recording great sounding audio on Squadcast.
Yeah. So now it's like, now you can reliably and without any anxiety join, record, and download and get those, you know, awesome recordings that are going to sound great to your audience. So definitely excited that's something new. It's not a new feature, right? It's just an enhancement of the performance of our app. But as far as, like, you know, like you said, we rebuilt the app, but like, it looks a lot different too. And the way I was telling you as going through it, it's like, a lot of the stuff is the same, but it's better. It just feels better. It's in a lot of ways, it's the very same, like what you're saying with Green Room. Is it's quicker. It's more, it's just easier to, it's more intuitive rather. So like, I guess, where did we get all those ideas from? And then how have we implemented that to making the app, you know, the same, but better?
Yeah. Well, we wanted to rebuild the app because we knew that, that guests were not just remote, but also mobile. And we have had many conversations with hosts that want to be able to connect with their guests from their mobile phone, their device. And that has been on our radar since the beginning. And we knew that was, you know, another opportunity for us to improve and help our guests have more conversations, our hosts have more conversations with their guests rather. And adding that constraint of mobile really forced us to go back to square one, you know, and we had learned a lot, and that a lot of that knowledge was going to transfer over into V2. But that is the main reason why we wanted to rebuild and also redesign, was to fit the mobile form factor. So with that, you have less screen economy to work with these,
makes sense,
you know, smaller devices than desktops. So
you're right.
it forced an additional constraint on our design team to really produce an experience that didn't remove any functionality. It was very important to us to have the same level of functionality and bulletproof recording experience on desktop and on mobile. And on mobile, because of the smaller screen real estate, we had to condense things down. We had to figure out new approaches to things. And that has really resulted in a lot of improvements with both visually, the app has a fresh coat of paint on it. We have a refined color palette. We have the addition of light mode as well as dark mode. So the host can choose whether they like the dark color palette or the light color palette. And the entire app reflects that through the whole experience. And that has been a lot of fun to really kind of, you know, take a fresh look at that. Put a new, you know, set of pixels on the app and refine that experience both from like the UX perspective as well as the design perspective. And I think that adds up to what you're saying. And, you know, the refinement is kind of to a higher degree in Squadcast V2.
Well, it's and it's also, like you said, it's more fun. You know, yes, it looks more polished and it behaves in a much more predictable manner, and it's just easier to use, hopefully. You know, let us know if it's not, but you know, generally speaking, there's much less clicks involved, so theoretically that should be easier, right? But like you said, man, it's also fun. And I think the you know, like the way the chat interacts now, we got GIFs and emojis, the way that if we wanted to turn off the video, there's you know, maps now, like just all the little stuff like that, you know, it just makes it much more fun. Where did some of those ideas come from?
Yeah, well, internally, I'm glad you think it's fun. I think it's fun too.
Well, if this ain't fun, man, that's the other thing about recording a remote interview is like, it just, you know, like when we first were trying this stuff out, we're like, okay, we can jump through all these hoops, but it's still, it's not even fun. Even if it sounds good and all that stuff, like I want to have fun doing this stuff. So it is fun.
I completely agree. And you know, it's not, if you look at the landscape of other options out there, they're pretty dry user experiences. You know, it's like you're looking at like waveforms. It's pretty low level stuff like you'd see in like a radio station or something like that. We don't think podcasters are of that same, you know, looking for that same experience. So that's where we saw an opportunity to really kind of double down on the things that we find fun and, you know, can add some fun and whimsy to our experience. And we just looked at, you know, what we like in other apps that are fun to us, and took some inspiration from Slack, an app that we use for, you know, keeping our remote team in sync. We're a startup with a remote team, so we use Slack to have real-time chat with each other all the time. And that has, you know, really great support for it's their entire app is basically chat, right? So they do that one thing very well. So we took some inspiration from there as well as other places, and we added support for both emoji. So we have the full emoji library. You can choose your skin color, you can search through them, add as many emojis as you like. It even remembers your, you know, frequently used emojis, so you can select them even faster. As well as we integrated with Giphy to have their full library of GIFs in our chat, and you can search for and select or see the trending GIFs there, or GIFs, whatever, however you say it. I say GIFs.
I'm not gonna get in the middle of that debate.
Yeah. Anyway, so we have full GIF support there, and those two things add a lot of fun to our chat experience, as well as taking the opportunity to add clickable links to the sidebar chat. We've also, I should mention, as part of the redesign and, you know, maximizing our screen real estate, the chat has been collapsed down into a collapsible, expandable sidebar off the right edge of the screen, like you would see in other mobile applications. Mm-hmm. And the whole chat experience now lives there. And that gives us a lot of, when it's collapsed, screen real estate for the video.
Sure.
So that's a lap around the updates in chat. It's a lot more fun. It's all still real time. And, you know, let us know what you think there. We can do some cool stuff. We think we have some ideas for ways to keep making chat more fun and add some more dynamic stuff there.
Right. What are you the most proud of with V2?
I think I'm most proud of, there's a lot of resistance to throwing away and scrapping what we had worked for, you know, the better part of 3 years working on beta and V1. That app, you know, got us a long way and we learned a lot through that experience. And I'm kind of sad to see it go in some respects, but at least we're doing it justice by replacing it with something that is, you know, better in lots of ways and is a stronger foundation for us to build upon in the future. What I'm most proud of is the willingness, the, you know, going up against the resistance to keep things the way that they are. We could have kept working with V1, you know, well into the future and just kept adding features. But if the foundation, you know, fundamentally needs improvements, then we're building on top of a shaky foundation. So there's a lot of momentum to keep things the way they are. And to go up against that takes a lot of resistance and willingness to start fresh and build something completely new. That's what I'm most proud of, is our decision to start fresh. And there's, you know, that's a tough call to make. There's literally investment in V1, right? So throwing it away and starting fresh with V2 takes another investment and a lot of resources and time and focus. And that's not a decision that I think everybody makes. And it's one that I'm super proud of us for making.
Yeah, that's a really good answer, man. I appreciate you saying that, because, you know, from my side, like, I'm not on the technical team, so I'm not in the thick of it like you and some of the other team members are. But the way my front line of the battlefield, if you will, to keep using that analogy, is you know, more with the customers, whether it's on support with, you know, helping Vinny out with that, or you know, jumping on demo sessions, practice sessions, calls, whatever, feedback. any type of interaction with customers. And you know, one of the difficult things was kind of in public, we were staying still with V1 and not really, you know, we would tell them we're working on certain things, but, you know, not really saying what it is, not really talking about, oh, okay, this is going to be V2 and this is what's included in V2. And, you know, so like, why did we make that decision to kind of stand still with V1 and then, you know, build V2, because we didn't, you know, you kind of do make it sound like we just threw it away. Like, we didn't just throw it away, right? Like, we learned a ton from it. We're taking a lot from it. But it definitely is different in every way. So I guess, why did we decide to stay still like that for so long?
I think that's probably the toughest call that maybe I've had to make, or, you know, we as the leadership of Squadcast have had to make, is that, you know, where the rubber hits the road, we're a bootstrap startup, so we don't have unlimited, you know, venture capital to hire lots of developers and maintain a V1 app while still building a V2 app. I think, you know, that was a tough call to make, and it really resulted in focus rather than being split between maintaining V1, which we still had to do. We still have customers using V1, but we're not actively developing it. We're not actively adding new features or these enhancements into V1, because it's essentially duplicative work. We would do it in, let's take, you know, GIF integration as an example. We would both integrate that into V1 as well into V2. And
sure,
once we toggle over from 1 to 2, then that work in V1 is kind of a duplicative work. So we had to make a tough call to use the resources that we have to focus on one thing or the other. And, you know, that's to you know, to be vulnerable, that's a tough decision to make. And it resulted in us publicly, the app essentially standing still. We were in maintenance mode. We were keeping things running. We were making sure our customers are happy. Lots of podcast interviews were recorded in that amount of time between January and July. And we're proud of every single one of those. Like we kept things running smoothly, but we weren't actively adding new bells and whistles because we were focused on V2 and adding those to those bells and whistles to V2. So yeah, that was a tough call to make, but that's why we made it.
Makes sense. And it's what is going to make this launch even more dope is, like, you know, we've got so much built into it. We kind of got in the habit of like pushing releases like, you know, weekly or every other week or something like that. So that was a lot of fun. And we'll be able to actually do that now. So that'll be fun moving forward, right?
Yeah, nobody wants to stand still. I think Squadcast, you know, we've earned a reputation of listening to feedback, processing it quickly, and making refinements based on it very, very quickly. There's blog posts on, you know, feedback that we've gotten on a Monday, and, you know, by Wednesday we've shipped a release for it, and we're really proud of that reputation. And that's why it stung a little bit to, you know, be perceived as standing still. It was probably mostly in our heads, honestly. But you know, it's still a little bit of friction that, you know, we're excited to be picking that pace back up now with the release of V2. We can be just as nimble.
Awesome. So what else is new? I know we got this flexible pricing option. We call it the Dabbler plan. Where did this come about?
Yeah, we interesting behavior that we've noted with some of our customers where they love the platform. They tell us that they record several interviews with us, and then they don't, in their workflow, they don't have another remote interview for another couple months. Maybe it's a break in between seasons of your podcast. Maybe you just do some of your interviews in person, or you're doing more live events, or for whatever reason, you know, remote interviews are part of your workflow. They're not 100% of the workflow. And that's totally cool with us. We want to fit into the workflow, whatever works best for every podcaster. So through that lens, it doesn't always make sense to have an ongoing monthly subscription if you don't have any interviews planned for this month. So what does the podcast host do, right? They hit us up and they say, we'll be back. And, you know, no fault on your end. Like, we're happy with the service. We just have a break in between seasons. And, that's, you know, that's awesome. I'm glad that they, you know, felt that they could tell us that, and that there was an open conversation there. And we took that opportunity to learn a little bit more about, you know, what their preference would be if they didn't have this, or if they had another option in addition to a monthly subscription. And that's where we came up with the Dabbler plan to have an hourly priced option. So per hour recorded, you can keep track of your recording time in Squadcast, buy more recording time at $5 an hour, and same great quality, same amount of guests, same experience overall, Wave and MP3, all that good stuff, just priced differently. So if you want to have that time wallet, that Dabbler plan, that's totally cool with us. You know, and you can, if you find yourself recording more often remote interviews, then there's always the unlimited plan at the same great price of $20 a month.
Yeah, that's awesome. Just having more podcasters record their content on Squadcast is kind of the goal with that one, right?
Yeah, just fitting with the workflow. So, you know, if you buy a couple hours and, you know, you use two of them, the other three are gonna be there for you whenever you come back. So you don't have to worry about having to cancel and come back and cancel and come back. You know, that's not necessarily what we like to see. We like to maintain relationships with people. We've worked hard to find great people to work with on the platform. And, you know, it's just extra work to have to, you know, leave and come back and all that good stuff. So it's more flexible to put, you know, the management of that stuff is now in control by the podcaster, and that's what we like to see.
Right on. What are some of the other things? I know we briefly touched on mobile. Maybe you want to expand up on that, like, and then also cross browser. And really, it's just about being more available everywhere, right? That's the idea. So how are we more available, and what's that experience going to be like?
Yeah, so we have long worked on Google Chrome, and Google Chrome gives us a lot of the, low-level browser primitives to be able to record great sounding audio and provide the experience that we do. And we kept it that way largely through beta because we didn't want to introduce all this variability of the ways that different browsers interact and behave and all of that stuff. There's a lot of possibilities in that. And we thought we'd keep it, solid and simple with one choice there. But there was no real technical reason for, not being able to support other browsers. So with V2, we knew we wanted to meet people where they're at and not even request. Like, one of the things we like to say with Squadcast is, you and your guests don't have to install anything. You don't need to have any extensions or whatever installed on your computer, with the caveat of already having Google Chrome on your machine. So some people are like, oh, I don't use Chrome. So they had to actually go and install Chrome. And so that, statement is not 100% true if you don't use Google Chrome as your browser. So that's where, we knew that there was an opportunity to meet people where they're at and support Firefox, Opera, Brave, the top browsers that people use. You have options if you don't like Chrome for whatever reason, maybe you're more, privacy focused, that's cool. Use Google, sorry, use Brave, use Opera, or Firefox. It's your call. And the one exception there currently is Apple Safari browser. And the Safari browser, it's a great browser. It's the second most popular web browser, but it has a few limitations that Apple is working on right now. And we've been tracking it very closely, and it's looking like later this year, 2019, we'll be able to have full support for all of the browsers, including Safari, at that point.
Yeah, that was actually kind of a bummer to us when we kind of found that out. Was like, hold up, we aren't going to work on Safari or iOS as well, correct?
Yeah, so
So,
you brought up mobile, so we're announcing full support for Android, the different web browsers on Android. Your guests can join your session from their Android device or tablet, all good there, with the exception of iOS and the iPhone operating system. That is another limitation. So yeah, Safari and iOS are the two platforms that we're not announcing support for just yet, but we're working on that now for later this year.
Yeah, the solution, it seems highly likely that we'll have a solution available later this year. But I'm trying to take our listeners inside the process of like, just how heartbreaking that was for a second. I remember you calling me, man, and saying like, oh, this might not work on iPhone and Safari. Like, obviously that's podcasting is kind of a child of Apple in a lot of ways, right? So like, how do, obviously, I think it'd be cool to walk us through your thought process when you found that out. What was that like? And then how did we go about making that decision to proceed without iOS and Safari, knowing that that was going to be a tremendous bummer to the rest of the community? I mean, we get it. Like, I'm an iPhone user, so it's a bummer. But why did we proceed with rolling it out anyways on Android?
We want to be in service of podcasters and their guests in as many places as possible. So adding Android and these other browsers is a huge step in that direction. Android is quantifiably the most popular mobile operating system, while iOS is still hugely popular. It is it's a big step forward to even be launching support for mobile and for these other browsers. So we didn't want to like hold that progress back because of the limitations that we found in Safari and iOS. So it was more so about, being in as many places as we can be, and then just communicating effectively why there are limitations and why we face these challenges in Safari and iOS. So there's a blog post that we've written up that goes into a lot of detail on the nitty-gritty of why this is. We're tracking it very closely, and like you said, we're bummed about this, and we will be very excited to announce support for those later this year.
Gives us another reason to have another launch, have another podcast to discuss stuff like this, right?
Yeah. And there is some opportunity for maybe support for Safari sooner than Apple gives it to us. So it's still being worked through right now. So there is that possibility. But mobile is iOS is more of a sticking point. So yeah, it came up in testing, as these things do. And turns out there's some real limitations there that are part of the web standard that have been implemented by all the other browser vendors that have not yet been implemented by Apple, even though they're part of these standards bodies. They help draft these documents, and they've committed to implementing these standards. They just haven't done it yet. And as you can imagine, we're not the only companies or platforms or startups in this boat. So there have been a lot of pressure from the open source community, from the other browser vendors on Apple to actually do what they said they were going to do and implement these standards. It's 2019. These standards were authored and agreed upon like over a decade ago. And it's kind of sad that this is the state of the web. And I'm really, really glad to see it finally moving forward.
Yeah, it's really great timing for us, because imagine if we were, 10 years from now and still waiting for this to happen. That would really suck. So,
well, I imagine there were some developers in that boat, who were reading that standard as it was being drafted and coming out back then, like 2009, and then just being like, I think it was even maybe before then. It's in that blog post. I just don't want to get it wrong. that, they were thinking then, oh, this is around the corner. How many startups, didn't happen because of that? It's kind of a trip to think about.
Yeah. So you already gave us what you're most proud of with
What are you V2. Most proud of?
Well, now that you ask, I guess what I'm most proud of, like we said, this is a lot of, we love interacting with podcasters, right? Like, we're so stoked to be a part of this community. It was a pleasant surprise how open and receptive the community was to us and continues to be. And, something we always talk about. So, it's fun for us to engage in these conversations with the people that we're serving, who are, people who podcast and, so that's all awesome. But a lot of the time, a lot of this feedback is not stuff that we necessarily want to hear. So it's really difficult to hear it. Sometimes it's difficult to really understand what they're trying to say and, really be as truly empathetic as possible. But what I'm proud of is that, you are the lead on building the product that is Squadcast, the web app, right? And, what I've been doing is talking to those people who are using it and trying to understand what their experience is like, so that we know what we're doing right and we know what we're doing wrong. And I think when I'm getting that information from them and then relaying it to you, there's a lot of opportunity where I can screw that up along the way and not get it right. And then the way that you hear it and choose to, what you choose to do with it, there's a lot of opportunity for that to not go right either. And so, I think that's what I'm most proud of, is that, like, and this just happens with our team, but since, I have you here, it's like, taking it from hearing it from a customer, writing it down, or recording it, or however I'm going to capture what they're telling me, and then relaying that to you, and for you to hear it and not take it personal and kind of leave your ego. And it, you're not perfect. So I know there are some times where it is more, and I'm not perfect. So I'm maybe not delivering it always in the best way, but it's, you got to appreciate the difficultness it is to, communicate to someone, hey man, this person's having a really crappy experience with something that you've built and put so much time and effort and energy into. And, you know, I think there's along the way where there can be this opportunities for, you know, not the best stuff, right? Like you could take it too personal, or I could come across too harsh, or, you know, so I'm proud that
we could choose to blame it on the customer.
Or that, or yeah, we could team up on them. It couldn't even be conflict between you and me. It could be us versus them.
And that's something that, you know, is kind of a principle of how we operate, is that it's never on the customer.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. You know,
that's not a small thing.
Yeah. So I guess I'm just proud of the fact that, like, I was really able to get out there and interact with our customers and collect all this feedback. And then you were able to hear what I was saying and not take it personal, and really just understand that ultimately, whether you agreed with it or not, it communicated some level of that this needs to be better. And it was our responsibility to figure that out and deliver. And so I'm just, you know, whether it's a complete, you know, home run or not, I'm just proud of the fact that we've established this process and this way to communicate with our customers, with each other. And I'm very confident it's a step forward. It might not be everything that we want and hope and dream this thing can be, but it's definitely a step forward. And so that's what I'm proud of.
Awesome. Yeah, no, I definitely see that as something that we've cultivated into some kind of superpower, where we can, you know, take this feedback, be pretty scientific about it, try to remove the human factor.
Because we've jumped in on some calls together where we took it on the chin, where we just shut up and just, you know, I mean, how heartbreaking were some of those calls, where it's like, because we could hear how much they wanted to use it. I want to use it, you know, 5 times in a day. They want to be a John Lee Dumas power user. Like,
right.
We want to freaking support that. And we couldn't.
Yeah, we want the same thing. And that is, it's real tough, right? It's vulnerable to say, like, we're wrong. It can be better. It should not have done that. Or, you know, this should be better. And we can make it better. And, you know, believe that we will. And that is something that we've been able to repeat time and time again. It's just frustrating with the V2 situation, because we were intentionally, you know, waiting to release it to get it right in other aspects. And that is, you know, it's been a tough 6 months, because usually when we get tough feedback, it's like, okay, let's adapt and fix it right now. And we kind of removed our ability to do that when we decided to rebuild the app. Because even if we've already made that improvement that the customer, you know, is requesting or is experiencing, in V2, there's other pieces of the app that aren't ready yet. So we can't just roll it out and all of that. It needs to be, you know, bulletproof all the way top to bottom. And yeah, some of those were, you know, painful conversations, but great learning experiences and full of passion. And yeah, the folks who we're in those conversations with, you know, they have our best interest at heart. We have theirs, at best, you know, at our heart. And, it's just not always comfortable, and that's fine. You know, it's not our job to be comfortable or to always be right or anything like that. It's our job to help podcasters record great sounding interviews. And we need to hear the cold, hard truth when that's not happening. And I'm grateful that we have people who tell us how it is.
Yeah, super grateful for that. So, you know, thanks for asking. So what are you most excited about then with V2 and what this can do for podcasting and podcasters?
Yeah, I'm most excited about it being more approachable to newer podcasters, to veteran podcasters, to power users and their guests alike, in more places on mobile and other browsers. There's just, you know, there's always been a lot of creative possibility on Squadcast, but it was constrained in one way or another, whether intentional or not. And I feel like we've looked at those challenges that we face, you know, dead in the eye, each one of them, and figured out a better way to do it. And it may not be the best way to do it yet. We may still be on that journey with some of these things. And we're never stopping, you know, our learning experience. But for right now, you know, what we've learned and what we know, I think that we've made that transition from challenge to our opportunity for each one of these that we faced coming off of V1. So I think that is super exciting to me that, you know, we know what we're capable of now. We know that we can, you know, go back to the drawing board on something that we've been working years on, look that in the face, make it better, and you know, take constructive feedback on the chin and turn it into something positive that that helps all of our podcasters record awesome interviews.
Yeah, I couldn't have said it better myself, man. I guess, like, just to piggyback off that, like, to me, what's going to be exciting is that imagining or just finding out all the kick-ass content that's being created on Squadcast, and, you know, being able to just be able to facilitate that and help out podcasters with that. And, you know, having that response from their listeners saying, man, that sounded great. Or that was a kick-ass interview. Like, how did you record that? Like, That'll be really cool.
Oh, you weren't in the same room? Like, oh, that was a remote interview? That's what we really shoot for, right? Is that listener experience, they should think from their perspective, you're in the same room. And I think that we've largely accomplished that in V1, you know, that was the main focus was the audio quality. And I think here in V2, we've carried over everything we've learned about capturing awesome quality audio and moving it around and all that stuff. But we've also built a great and fun experience on top of it. And I think that's how I would sum up, you know, what was, you know, opportunities for improvement from V1 to V2. And we've made the most a lot of those opportunities.
Yeah, so we can't wait for you guys to check it out. Zach, where should they go to check out V2?
Yeah, squadcast.fm online or on social. We are at squadcast.fm. On YouTube, Squadcast. We got a bunch of awesome demo videos and support videos. You can check out the app there. We also have this new Dabbler plan, which comes with 3 free recording hours. So when you sign up, no credit card needed. That was another thing in V1 that we've transitioned away from in V2. So you can sign up, just an email, and you'll get 3 free recording hours to record a few sessions. Check out the app, get some great quality audio for you and your guests, and then, you know, get a few hours to record here and there as you need, or upgrade to the unlimited plan for $20 a month. We would we'd love to help with your remote interviews, and that comes with the awesome support that we provide to the host that we've been working with this entire time. So that is not changed in Squadcast V2. We have you know, same great built-in support. We have a dedicated support person now in our audio engineer. Vince is now the head of our support. He's been full-time with us for a few weeks now, and that adds a lot of capacity to being able to help you and your guests have great sounding remote interviews.
Yeah, so hit us up, guys. Let us know how you think of V2. We're really excited for you to check it out. And we'll be on, like Zach said, all the socials and our own personal socials. Hit us up. We'll love to hear from you. Open to jumping in the session with you anytime. So that's it.
Yeah. Thanks, Rock.
Thank you.